two Torahs from the Stuchina Rebbe, printed in this volume of the Rebbe's Divrei Torah Tavshin Ayin. But I thought, by way of Akdama, since Stuchina brings a lot of Ramazim and Purim is a very Remez, Gematria-filled time, as you delve deeper, so I figured, let's just talk for a few minutes about the Inyan of Gematrius. There's a piece from Rav Wolfson, from Tavshin Samach Hei. They print, Rav Wolfson is the father-in-law of the Stuchina Rebbe. Rav Moshe Wolfson, Shlita, is the father-in-law of the Stuchina Rebbe. So they print his Shalosh Shuras Torahs in little volumes that look like this. I don't have so many of them, but this one's from Samach Hei, Samach Vav, Samach Zayin. So Parshas Chayei Sara, Tavshin Samach Hei, Rav Wolfson touches a little bit on the Inyan of Gematrius. So I figured, let's do this by way of Hakdama, and then we'll learn his son-in-law, the Stuchina Rebbe, Shlita's Torahs on Purim. Okay, let's see. So, Va'avram Zokin Baba Yamin, Va'ashem Berachas Avram Bakol. Pasuk says in Chayei Sara that Avram was getting old in age, and Hashem blessed Avram with everything. Perish Rashi, Bakol Ola Begamatria Ben. Rashi says Bakol is 52, which is the Gematria Ben. So, what it really means, what the Pasuk is really saying, is that Avram is old and he has a son. Avram is getting old and he has a son. Okay, he had the son a long time ago. But Avram is old and he has a son, and now it's time to make a shidduch. And that's why the psukim go on and describe the arranging of the shidduch for Yitzchak. That Eliezer is going to go find Rivka on behalf of Yitzchak. Rashi says, now that he has a son, it's time for him to marry off his son. How old is this son? This is Chayei Sara. This is after the Akedah.
40.
He's 40 years old, this son. It's not like the son was just born. It's a strange pasuk. Like now all of a sudden Avram realizes it's time to marry off my son. And the Torah hints to it, says, Hashem bless Avram with everything. Oh, everything? Oh, Bakol is Gematria Ben. So Avram finally realizes, you know what, my son is 40 years old. It's probably time to get him married. Vitzarech Biur, says Rav Wolfson, Lama lo kasab hedya ben. First and foremost, if you want to tell me Avram has a son, so just tell me that Avram has a son. Why do you need to say Avram has everything? And then Rashi has to come and reveal to us the secret. No, Bakol really means Ben. Very strange. Why does the Torah even need to say that he has a son? Ki'ilu, he just had a son. The son was born 40 years ago. Okay, that's Yitzchak. We know he has a son. The son almost died and he survived. We're very much aware of the fact that Avram has a son. So why does it have to announce it? Besofa Parsha, towards the end of Parsha's Chayei Sara, it says, "VaYosef Avram veYikach lo isha u'shuma keturah." Avram further went ahead and he took a wife, and her name was Keturah. Avram additionally went ahead and took a wife. What's the additionally? Roy lahavin halashon veYosef. V'lama lo nemar veYikach Avram. Why not just say Avram took a wife? Additionally, Avram took another wife. We get it. Just say he took a wife, and we'll understand. It's another wife. We know that he was married to Sarah. We know he was married to Hagar. We see that now he's marrying Keturah, which according to some is Hagar. He's taking Hagar back. According to others, maybe it's a different wife. But why again does it announce, oh, additionally, Avram took another wife? Just say, Vayikach Avram. Avram took a wife, and her name was Keturah. Bapasak va'alu Moshiim, paragraph 3. Bapasak va'alu Moshiim b'har Tzion nishpot es har Esav. Tzorach b'yor lama lo yishpetu es Esav b'har Esav. Hari b'makom arasha shama mishpat. Why does it say that they went va'alu Moshe in Bahar Tzion lishpot es har Esav? Why not judge Esav in Esav's place? Hari b'makom arasha shama mishpat. Why do you have to involve Har Tzion in the judgment of har Esav? Va'alu Moshe in Bahar Tzion lishpot es har Esav. And why not just judge the rasha directly? U'kamosh v'tzinu b'shar makomos kegon v'yered Hashem liros azir. But Hashem comes down to see what's happening, so Hashem deals with the wicked people in their place. So why do you have to Ba'alu Moshe and Bar Tzion Lishpot Har Esav? Why not judge Esav Bar Esav? Okay, we're not going to answer all these questions because I don't want to spend the whole time on this whole piece. But Rav Wolfson reveals to us a couple Yesodos in just understanding what Gematria is. And Rav Wolfson does a ton of Gematrias. He's one of the greatest, in my opinion, I can't think of anyone in the world today, who I know of, who's more makusher to being megala soda satora through gematria than Rav Wolfson. And his son-in-law, the Stuchina Rebbe, is also very, very much connected to that mahalach. So the question is, what's the inyan of gematrios? It's not just you know, cute ideas. When you're a kid and, you know, someone comes to the Shabbos table, right, maybe you come to the Shabbos table and your mora or your teacher gave you, your Rebbe gave you a gematria to share at the Shabbos table, you don't understand the context of it. You don't understand why that's a deep thing. It's cool, it's interesting. It's interesting when the numbers add up, but we have to understand what the sort of it is. So Rav Wolfson explains, Hatanya Bishar Yichud V'Amunah, in the fourth paragraph. The Tanya explains to us in the Shara Yichud V'Amunah, Bir Inyan Hishtalshalas Hachiyus L'chol Nivra Me'asar Ma'amaros. We need to understand how through the ten Ma'amaros, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Chei Olamim, the source of all life, gives life to all of reality. And the Hishtalshalas, the descent of Chiyus into the world through the Asar Ma'amaros, through the ten spheros. Shemeacher Shachiyus Hanimshach Me'asar Ma'amaros Hu Or Elyon She'ein Hanivram Yecholim L'Savlo. Since the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so great that a person would not be able to be sovel such a light, if we were to be fully exposed to the light of Hashem, that Or Elyon would swallow us up. Well, you're anyhow Adam V'chai. You can't see Hashem and live. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to conceal himself. Hashem has to, again, through this downward descent of the Ma'amaros, to allow himself to be expressed in the world in a way we can be sovel it. L'cheinu mishtal shel madrega l'madrega, b'tzimtzum achar tzimtzum, layer upon layer, concealment upon concealment, contraction upon contraction, al yedei chilufim utmuros ha'osios v'gematrios, shem cheshbon ha'osios, ashroi ha'or lislabish b'nivra prati. Everything is taking place with the letters. The building blocks of creation are the letters. Gemara says in Brachos that when Bezalel wanted to make the Mishkan, in Yonah Diyoma, he knew the secret of the letters. And the Gemara's Lashon is he knew how to manipulate the letters in the same way that the letters were used in Maisa Bereishis. The same way Hashem used letters to create the world. So too Bezalel understood, again, he understood Aleph through Tav, he understood, so to speak, the elements that make up the Briah, and he was able to use them and manipulate them and control them in such a way to build the Mishkan, which was not only a physical structure, but had many, many deep secrets woven into its very fabric. So the more a person understands the letters, the more a person is able to understand the secret of the Briah. Rav Tzadok writes about this also in one of his Svarim. Rav Tzadok says that everything is made up of the letters, which means that if you see an ox, even though what it looks like is an ox, what you're really seeing, if you could have spiritual eyes, you would see that it's made up of nothing other than Shin, Vav, and Resh. Shor is an ox. So with spiritual eyes, you wouldn't see an ox walking around, you would just see letters floating by as an ox walked across the road. The Baal HaTanya, they say at the end of his life, the Baal HaTanya was lying on his deathbed and he was looking up, and he said to either his son or his grandson, whoever was sitting by his side, he said to someone, What do you see? He's pointed to the roof, to a beam across the roof. He said, what do you see? So he said, I see the wooden beam that's held up this roof for the last who knows how many years. So Baal HaTanya says, aha. He says, I don't see a beam anymore. All I see are letters. So that was the tzaddik, a huge tzaddik, at the end of his life, was at the point where he wasn't seeing the physical world as we see it with our eyes of flesh and blood, but he was seeing it with what? He was seeing it for what it really is. This shulchan is made up of shin, lam, and chas, and nun. It is?
Where?
You know? Take it apart, we'll only see the letters? No. But that's the reality. Everything is made up of osios. That's how everything exists in the world. And the job of the tzaddik is to sometimes take negative letters and rearrange them. It's a big inyan in the svarim. To take negative arrangements of letters and to be mahapich them, bin hafachu, to turn them into something good. So if you have a tzara, tzadi reish hei, so I should turn it into reish tzadi hei. Right? A ratzon, ritzei. That there should be a l'ratzon. If I have a nega, tzara'as, I should try to take nun gimel ayin and turn it into oneg. If I have an ani, ayin nun yud, so maybe I need to try to turn it into an ayin yud nun, right? To gain perspective. So I try to always rearrange the letters to make them into something better. Trying to make it into something more revealed. Right, the classic example is what it says in Sefer Yetzirah. There's nothing lower than Nega, and there's nothing higher than Oneg. So the goal is to try to take low things and to transform them. Right, something like Nega, which means an affliction, a terrible, painful affliction, physical or spiritual, and to turn it into something of Oneg, something of pleasure, something of... And there's many, many examples of this in this farm, where Tzaddikim try to take something negative and the Mahapech it into something positive. Okay? So, if everything is made up of the letters, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Metzamsem himself, and through these Chilufim Utmuros, through these various changes and transformations of the Osios and the Gemashios and different calculations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows this table to exist in a way that we're not overwhelmed by it. If I could see this table for being Hashem's Chiyus expressing itself in this world, I'd run away. I would be nervous to put my hands on the table. Yeah?
I had this discussion with someone on Shabbos. Someone's like, God in English is 26, like the gematria of God.
Yeah.
So then, like I was like kind of thinking, like, okay, like nice, but there's no gematria with like English letters.
Right.
Like, well, how would you, like, then the person got like pretty upset. Like, how would you answer that?
Right. It is an unusual thing. The G-O-D, if you cheshbon G-O-D, it's 26. It is an unusual thing.
They were like, if Hashem's in everything, like, and Hashem is it, like, why?
All languages come from Lashon HaKodesh. So we shouldn't be shocked when we find things in other languages, right? So sometimes there will be, that the Kedusha of Lashon HaKodesh spills over into other languages. You have foreign language words in the Torah. That's sort of the secret of that. Your tefillin are called Tot Tafos. Tot and Fot are two different African language words, right? So it's important to realize that, especially also in Pnimius, you have people sometimes doing academic work and they say, oh look, no, the real source of this word is in Akkadian, right? It's not real. No, the real source of the word is in Lashon HaKodesh, and Torah is big enough to incorporate within it other things. Okay, but there's a Pnimius way to explain all of those types of things. So the fact that, you have an unusual thing like that, Is there some emes to it? I don't know they have to say that it's totally, random and nonsense. It is interesting. I wouldn't spend too much time on English gematrias because, again, that's not where the energy is found. The energy is found in the osios of the Torah. They're building blocks. Sefer Yetzirah says that they're building blocks. Each letter is also a word, right? Aleph, Amid, Pei, means something. Beis, Zabayis, Gimel, to be Gomel, Dalim. Right? Each of the words, Dalit is the Delis. Each of the words also mean something. It's more than just a sound. It's a word. It's a building block. Let me see if Yetzirah describes it. Okay, so we have to know how to use the letters. That's what the Tanya tells us. So let's go weiter. So he says, Hareisha inyan hagamatrios hu inyan shel tzimtzum. Gamatrios are an inyan of tzimtzum. V'hu shayach lemidas hamalchus asher sham olam hacheshbon. Okay. Fine. Hashem contracts himself within the letters. We'll leave it at that for now. So let's come back again to our context here. Where what? Hashem blesses Avram Bakol, and Avram, Rashi reveals to us, Bakol means he had a son. Why Dafka here is Rashi bringing this gematria in the context of Zivugim, in the context of making Shidduchim? Why is Rashi saying, the Pasuk could have said Ben, but instead it gave a gematria? Why did the Pasuk give a gematria? Specifically in the context of what? Of the first Jew getting married. Yitzchak is the first Jew born to Jewish parents. Avram and Sarah didn't come from Jewish parents. Yitzchak is the first, so to speak, full-fledged Jew. This is the first real Shidduch that's being made, with the first real Jew. Right? The first Ben. This is the ultimate Ben, and yet it's being expressed Bakol, the Gematria Ben. Why? The Ramban in the Zakdama to Chumash, the Perish HaTorah, Hevi Breisa Shalamed Beis Midos Shatorah Nidreshes Behem. She'echar Amidos Hu Gematrios. If you look in the Yud Gimel Midos Shatorah Nidreshes Behem that appear in your Siddur, that's only one list. Maybe it's the most authoritative, mainstream, halachically accepted list of darshaning Torah. And in terms of halacha, those are the principles that we're going to use. But there are larger lists of midos, of techniques and tools that are used to darshan the Torah. And in the Lamed Beis Midos Shatorah Nidreshes Behem, in the 32 different techniques that are used to expound Torah, gematria is one of them. V'kashlof sham, shekol ma shenemar l'moshe Rabbeinu nichtam b'Torah, b'feirish o b'remez o b'gematria. The Ramban says that everything that what? That was transmitted to Moshe Rabbeinu is written in the Torah sometimes beferish, sometimes openly, sometimes beremez, sometimes begematria. Everything's in the Torah. So don't be startled when the Gemara in Chulin, Koflametes, says, where is Esther in the Torah? Esther in the Torah? Why would Esther be in the Torah? Where is Haman in the Torah? Why would Haman be in the Torah? Where is Mordechai in the Torah? Why would Mordechai be in the Torah? That same Gemara says, where is Moshe hinted to in the Torah? Moshe hinted to in the Torah? Why do I need to show that Moshe is hinted to in the Torah? Because I want you to realize that even the things that are mefurish in the Torah are also hinted to in the Torah. That everything has many layers. So the Ramban is telling us that again, the gematrios can extract many, many layers of hidden Torah. And all the things that Moshe Rabbeinu knew, he was not told to write them mefurash. He was told to write them b'derech remez. Top of the left column. The ein ze inyan la mishnah maseches avos shegematrios hein parparos l'chachma. When it says in Pirkei Avos that gematria is what? Parparos l'chachma, which makes it sound like what? Most Mepharshim learn that in the negative, that there's real chachma, and then there's gematria, which is just parparos. Parparos means dessert, you know, something extra. Right? Like the Mishnah says in Brachos, if you mevarech on the main thing, it's poter as a parparos. If you make a bracha on the main thing, it covers that which is tafel to it, parparos. Parparos means something a little extra, something that's not integral to the meal. The chachma is, so to speak, the real bread. Right? Parparos just means extra again. Whether parparos is the same as the word parparos is being used in brachos, maybe yes, maybe no. But the bottom line is parparos, right, is certainly loosely translated as non-essential. It's non-essential. It's dessert. Kamosha Birama Rao Vatosis Yomtov, Sham Shakavanahi Achachma Sacheshbon Hanikris Gematria. So the Maharal and Tosis Yomtov say, and what the Rav Wolfson, who does a lot of gematrias and is trying to teach us the chashivas of gematrias, is telling us, he says that when Chazal said in that Mishnah in Avos that gematria is really, you know, non-essential, it's kind of extra, that was referring to what? Chachmas hacheshbon hanikris gematria. That's talking about getting a degree in mathematics. That's wisdom. It will sharpen your mind. It might help you better engage God's world. You want to get a college degree and become an accountant, is what the Mishnah is talking about. That's great. That's parparos l'chachma. Realize that there's much greater wisdom to be explored. But that's not the gematria of Torah. Rav Wolfson is trying to say, that Mishnah that is speaking negatively and saying gematria is non-essential is not talking about gematria in the context of learning Torah. Aval gematria shebetorah heim gufei Torah. Now, I'm sure there are many who would argue on this and say, what are you talking about? That's exactly the Mishnah's point. The Mishnah's saying that there's learning halacha, there's gufe halachos, like the Mishnah says, and then there's just gematria, which is something extra, it's cute ideas. Rav Wolfson's saying, no, the gematria that the Mishnayos are describing in Pirkei Avos is talking about different types of learning of math. Okay, what are the examples that what does that Mishnah contrast to with? What does the Mishnah call guf halachos in that Mishnah? Kinim and Pisrei Nida are real halacha, and gematria is extra credit. So the truth is, I think Rav Wolfson can make a very good case. What is it? What are kinim? What's Maseches Kinim about? Maseches Kinim is 15 really complicated mishnayos about probability. That if you have a bird carbon ola that flies in with a bird carbon chatas, and then the birds fly back and forth, and it's two birds from each nest, and then they cross, and then they come back, and you're trying to figure out what's what, right? And there's different owners, and this one's chayav chatas and ola, and this one's chayav two chatos, and now they cross, and then the bird flew back, and it's all math. 15, if you like math, Maseches Kinim is for you. And there's been interesting articles written in Torah journals about the mathematics. I remember seeing an article many years ago in the Torah Umadda journal about Maseches Kinim, and someone did a whole study on the probability of a Mishnah in the second parak of Kinim, and how it, you know, how we would assess that based on modern mathematical techniques. What's Pischei Nida? The other thing mentioned by the Mishnah, that's called real halacha. Again, the cheshbonos, a woman needs to calculate her menstrual cycle. And if you look in the Mishnayos and the Gemara and Maseches Erechin, when it talks about a woman who loses track of her cycle and how she has to count to restart, so there are areas of Torah real halachic areas of Torah that deal with a lot of math. So the Mishnah is saying that the guf halachos, if you want to use math in the context of Torah, it's kinem upischenida. But to learn astronomy or gematrios, that's parparos lechachma. So you'll say, what's the difference? What's the difference if I use apples and oranges, or if I use bird, you know, carbon ola, carbon chatas? So what the Mishnah is saying is that there's a big difference, right? The mathematics of Torah is the real thing, and to study math or to study astronomy, which also has a lot of math, that's parparos lechachma. That's secondary wisdom, as opposed to Torah, which is the shorish of all wisdom. But gematria, the way we talk about gematria in Torah, b'derech remez, that's a different thing, says Rav Wolfson. He says that is gufei Torah, that's real Torah. Again, the Mishnah in Avos is contrasting Torah math in the context of kinem upischenida versus just what the Mishnah calls gematria, which just means cheshbonos, being involved in mathematics. That's secondary, but real the gematria of Torah is not secondary at all. Pshat, remez, drash, sod. Remez is a higher level than pshat. So it's very real Torah. Hakadmonim hirbu lishtamish mecheshbon gematrios kamo rokeach vod rishonim. Some of the great rishonim spent a lot of time on gematria. The rokeach. The rokeach was one of the gedolei Ashkenaz. He wrote in halacha also. But the rokeach has many svarim where he writes in gematria. Rokeach has a sitter also filled with all sorts of gematrios. Ula'achem ikein ha'achronim, the Ariyah Kadosh, Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, the Afla, the Chassam Sofer. These people didn't have spare time. So if gematria was not essential, they would have dropped it. The fact that the Chassam Sofer, and the Afla, and the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, and the Ariyah Kadosh, and the Tzaddikim of earlier generations and earlier than that, and Tzaddikim of our time, are using gematria, it's a very real thing. So what's the Indian? The Indian Hagamatrios Mavur Bisvarma Kadoshim, Ki Kol Os Yeshba Mispar Kochos Kafi Mispar Os. Every letter has different kochos according to its corresponding number. The same way it's like not so far when you like understand just science. You understand that water is H2O. What is H2O? What does that mean it's H2O? I don't see H, I don't see 2, I don't see O. I see a glass of water. Right? Okay, but if you look deeply, you understand that it's not just water. Water is what you see on the surface. But what it really is, if you break it down, it's H2O. So it's the same thing in the spiritual realm. That everything has an essential name. Ashulchan, Shin, Lamin, Ches, Nun. Those are the elements from Hashem's periodic table that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a table out of. He made the table out of Shin, Lamin, Ches, Nun. So therefore, every letter provides a different energy, a different kolach. Kigon os aleph yeshba kolach echad. Beis has two kochos. V'chein kol kiyotzi b'zeh. U'mispar shel tevos, u'mispar ha-kochos shel tevazu. So when I add up the different letters, I understand what the kolach of that thing is. We saw it the other day, very interesting, in a very fascinating way, when we were learning that piece from the Panim Yafos, where he said that Yitzchak is 8 times Yod Kei Vavke, and Yaakov is 7 times Yod Kei Vavke, and Yosef is 6 times Yod Kei Vavke. Right? And you see that there's different kochos contained within a name, and the name is made up of the letters, and it defines a person's essence, and their essence is how much they're connected to Hashem. The Zera Kodesh has a cheshbon how to put Avram into that. Yosef is 156, is 6 times 26. Yaakov is 182, that's 7 times 26. Yitzchak is 208, which is 8 times. Avram is 248. What's 248? What's 248? Say, but according to this calculation, Avram should have been 9 times 26. What's 9 times 26?
260
minus 26. 234. 234. So Avram's off by how many? To get to 248?
14.
It's off by 14. So where do you get the 14? What's the extra 14? Okay. Justin Wexler once showed me a Zera Kodesh where he tries to explain what the 248 is. But again, you see a clear Yeridas Hadoros from Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef. Right? You see that each generation is more or less connected. But again, these are kochos and nefesh. It doesn't mean that if your parents gave you a really long name with a lot of letters in it, that means you have a stronger kasher, although maybe it does. Who knows? You know, I was going to name their child Matisyahu. You know, get a couple tufts in there. It's good. A good, powerful, strong name. It's worth hundreds. Yeah? Okay. You see it by the emails also, right? Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, you also see the numbers. You also see the numbers descending. Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. Each one is a lower number. Again, what the cheshbon exactly is what the Svarim are busy with. So now, so here's the punchline. And this is why we're learning this piece.
Yeah.
Because I don't want, God forbid, to be the type of Jews who think gematria is a joke. It's really not a joke. It would be the equivalent of saying about water, H2O, that's a joke. I don't see H2O. I don't get H2O. So he says, when you have, says Rav Wolfson, in the second paragraph in the left column, about five lines in, so when you have two words that their mispar is equal, hareza morisha mispar kochoseim hushava. When you have two words that have a numerical equivalency, that shows that they have, their kochos are deeply connected, their kochos are equated, they're equal. That means they have a kesher to one another. There's a reason that they're connected. Esther is gematria lashon hara. Ma kesher. Well, the Gemara says that no one knew how to speak lashon hara better than Haman. So Haman is certainly lashon hara. Haman, we said, is connected to the Nachash, right? Mishoresh Nachash yetzei tsefa. We said the other day. Pasuk says in Navi that when from the root of the Nachash comes forth a tsefa, tzadi pe'ayin, is a viper, an even more evil snake. Who's the more evil snake? Tsefa's gematria Malik. So from the root of the Nachash comes forth a Malik. Haman is compared. Haman is a snake. He's mamish a snake. The Gemara in Maseches Erechin says that a baal lashon hara is like a snake, because just like an animal, a lion attacks its prey and then eats its prey. So at least, okay, it's harming someone else, but it's using it to sustain itself. It's eating it. But a snake sometimes will bite and then slither off. A snake will poison and just run away. So that's like lashon hara. You speak lashon hara, you don't even get anything out of it. So a baal lashon hara is compared to a snake. Ah. So Haman lekadala the lishna visha kahaman, the Gemara says, right? And lashon hara is connected to the snake, and the mishorish nachash yetzei tsefa, which is gematria amalek, and therefore Esther is gematria lashon hara because Esther is the zelu maset. That's why Esther's so quiet. Ain Esther maged the sazama. She doesn't want to talk. She's keeping so many secrets, right? Even when she talks in the name of Mordechai. That's the source, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, that a person who's Omer Davar B'Shem Omro, maybe Gula Olam, to be so sensitive with her speech, that's the antithesis of Haman. So you see Zalu Mazah. You see, there's a reason. There's always a cheshbon. When the kochos align, there's a reason for it. Okay? So that's what he's saying here. There's equal kochos, that means they come from one shorish. And it reveals to us a lot of the inner energy, and an inner understanding of what it is. And even if they seem to be two totally separate things, what does one have to do with the other? They seem to be different worlds. What you're doing when you make a gematria is you're making a shidduch. You're making a zivug. You're making a yichud. You're bringing the world closer to Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You're showing how two things which look to be totally disconnected are actually one. That they're deeply connected. A zivug, a shidduch, a gematria megalis, a sheiches veneim. And the gematria reveals how these two concepts, which again seemingly had nothing to do with each other, actually have a ton to do with each other. You're bringing them back to their shorish. So says Rav Wolfson, let's take a look. Next paragraph, Hinei Parshas Chayisara, he Parshas Zivugim. Parshas Chayisara is the parsha of one of shidduchim. Umuva Rabbeinu Bachaya, Minog Shakor and Lachasan, Parshas Va'Avraham Zaki. The Minog was that the Chasan, right, that we call up a Chasan to get the Aliyah for Va'Avraham Zaki in Baba Yam, Vashem Berachas Avram Bakol, which is Avram realizing that he has a son, Bakol is Gematria Ben, and now he's going to go off and get a Shidduch for Yitzchak. So we started by asking the question, why did the Pasuk just write he had a son? Why are you speaking in Gematria? As the first Jewish boy born to Jewish parents, Yitzchak is going to find the Shidduch. Why can't you just tell me that Avram has a son? Why did it say Avram was blessed Bakol and Bakol's Gematria Ben? Because Rav Wolfson says, because that's exactly what a marriage is. A marriage is a Gematria, a Shidduch, a Zivug, a Yichud. Look what he writes. V'chol Zivug b'Yisrael ma'or Zivug elyon shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'Knesset Yisrael. Every marriage. And now you understand. When I found this piece, I said, now I finally understand why Rav Wolfson is so busy with Gematrias all the time. What he's doing is he's trying to bring Klal Yisrael, the Kala, closer to the Chasan, the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That every time we make a marriage, every time we make a Shidduch, we're hinting to the supernal Shidduch of the Jewish people and Hashem. Or Klal Yisrael in the Torah. The relationship between the sun and the moon is also related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. V'yishlomer shemitam zeh koren b'rosh chodesh achar halal, pasuk v'avram zakin. That's why after halal, you'll notice in many siddurim, it says v'avram zakin baba yamim, v'ashem b'yarach asar b'kol. Why? Because when we celebrate Rosh Chodesh, we take note of the moon, and the renewal of the moon, and we understand the moon's role within its relationship to the sun, right? Ki b'chol Rosh Chodesh k'shalavana b'schadesh es nase yichud chodesh ben kushibichu k'nesis Yisrael. That every Rosh Chodesh, as the moon renews itself, there's a renewal of the shidduch between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lachein, roi likros v'pasuk v'avram zakin, shu pasuk b'tchilas parsha zivugim. This is the pasuk that kicks off the story of a shidduch. Parsha Chayei Sarah, Yitzchak finding a wife. V'hu kolal kol ha-parsha, and that contains within it everything that's going to come. V'hu me'inyin ha-zivug, ha-romez le-zivug HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'knesis Yisrael, ha-mischadish b'Rosh Chodesh. So this is the Indian of Gematrius. And therefore, Lefia Amor concludes Rav Wolfson, at least this is where we're going to end. And he goes on, and of course the piece is filled with unbelievable Gematrius. But again, the point was to see the reason for Gematrius. In terms of the Gematrius, we'll see plenty of good Gematrius this week. But now we at least have an understanding when a Gematrius is not just a cute idea. A Gematrius is mamash shidduch. It has the celebration of a wedding when a Gematrius is made. And that's why we work hard to make the Gematria work. Right? Sometimes you'll say, it's off by one, you know, you're adding the letters. Okay. Sometimes you see a couple and you're like, yeah, I totally get why they should be married. It makes sense. And sometimes you see a couple and you're like, oh, wow, they're engaged. That's so interesting. I never would have put those two together. The numbers don't seem to add up exactly. Okay, so kolel, and you add a letter, and you add a this, and you add a that. You make the shidduch work. The goal is to make shidduchim. The goal is to make yichud. Goes to be Makasher Shemayim Va'aretz, to be Makasher Kodesh Baruch and Klai Yisrael, to be Makasher Ben Ubas, right? That's the goal. That Ab and Ima. That there should be connections. So therefore, says Rav Wolfson, now we understand why the Parsha of Gematria begins with such a strange thing. The Parsha of Shidduchim, Zivugim, begins with such a strange thing. It starts with Hashem Be'erach Asav Bakol Gematria Ben. Lachain, it says Rav Wolfson, Lufia Amar Gematria Hu Kedugmas HaZivug. If Gematria is understood as a shidduch, a marriage, Lachein Tchilas Parsha Zivugim Hu Al Yedei Gematria. It's not surprising that Rashi gives us Gematria to kick off the Parsha of Zivugim. Zeh Ba'oris Shorish HaZivugim V'Darshu Chazal Bakol Gematria Ben V'O Darshu Shais Lo Bas U'Bakol Shema. Another Rebbe's, they say that maybe Avram actually had, you don't have the next page, that maybe Avram had a daughter whose name was Bakol, the Gemara says. Right? Which means that what? It means within, says Rav Wolfson, within this one word, hidden within this one word is what? Is Ben Ubas. Bakol might be the daughter of Avram. Bakol is the Ben, Gematria Ben of Avram. So you see, within this word, Bakol is male and female merging together. The sun and the moon realigning. Klal Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael, and Kadosh Baruch Hu coming together. Okay, so this is the Inyan of Gematria. Again, it's an important piece just to have a context, especially when you encounter people, unfortunately, who think it's a joke, to understand what Rav Wolfson is saying here, that the Gematrios that are being, first of all, being ridiculed or being given second fiddle in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos is not talking about the Gematria of Torah. But the Ramban wrote in his Akdama to Chumash that the Gematrios of Torah were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. That the Tanya wrote in the Shar Yichud V'Amuna that everything is made up of letters. And if you really want to understand anything, you have to. Scientifically, you have to explore the letters, and now we understand why Parshas Chayei Sarah begins in the way that it does. Okay, so this was really just together Hakdama to hopefully a week of good Purim Gematrias, and now I want to learn two Torahs from the Stuchina Rebbe, which you have on the page in front of you. This is from the Otzer Gilyonei Divrei Torah.